We're holding on your bays on the bays, the second line of the widest lines. And we're in the middle of talking about seven levels of Shemayim. We went through five of them so far, and we showed for each one of them what its function is, and for some of them, where it says explicitly in the Pasuk that it mentions them in connection with the word Shemayim, that they are considered a heaven. And for the other ones, we found a different Pasuk that mentions that word and mentions it in connection with Shemayim. So now we're up to the sixth one. Mochon, this is the sixth heaven, is called Mochon. Shaboy Oitzris Sheleg Oitzris Barad. There are storehouses of snow and of hail over there. Rashi explains that these are ones that are there for punishment. Sometimes, in other words, you have snow that's there in order to make life difficult for people. For example, let's say, I guess one example of a snow that would be for punishment, well, blizzard actually. So blizzards would be an example of that, or maybe when you have a snowfall that prevents some Goyish army from being able to go and fight. Anyway, Tosfos says maybe not. Tosfos says that after all, there's a lot of times snow is good for the ground. So maybe it means both. Maybe it means that the storehouses of good and bad snow are there, and the same thing hail. Va'aliyas tlolim roim, and the going up, the ascension of bad dews, as we learned in Masechta Tainis, sometimes you have dew which is not so good. Dew never stops, but sometimes you have dew which is not so good for the plants, and for the plants and things that are that get wet with dew and then get soaked. So that comes from there. Va'aliyas agolim, and also the going up of drops of water. Agolim, Rashi relates to a couple of different words that mean storehouses of water that are going to, again, that are going to damage the crops or whatever. V'chadra shal sufo usara, and also the room of the room in which there are storm winds and hurricanes all come from the storehouse in the heaven called Ma'in. U'ma'ora shal kitar, and a cave in which there is steam, also for the same purpose. V'dalsi sehen esh, and the doors of all these storehouses are made out of fire. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Yiftach Hashem l'cho, it said, Tzorei HaTov, Hashem will open up for you his good storehouse to give you the rain, implying that there is a good storehouse and there is a not such good storehouse. So therefore, all of them are up there. So the Gemara says, what do you mean? All of these things, Hani Berakia Isnu. So you're telling me all of these things are found in heaven? Hani Ba'ara Isnu. A bunch of these things that we just mentioned are actually found on the earth. We say every day in davening, praise Hashem from the earth. Taninim b'chol tahomus, taninim, the great fish or the great sea monsters, the leviathan, whatever, and all the depths. Eish uvarad, fire and hail. Sheleg v'kiter, snow and steam. Ruach se'ora oisadvarei, and the hurricanes that do what Hashem wants. So all of those are min ha'aretz. All of those are on the ground. The answer is Amar of Yehuda, Amar Rav, David, Bikash, Aleim, Rachmim, Bahudin, La'oretz. What happened was they were originally up in Shemayim in Mochin. Then David asked for Rachmanas from Hashem and had them brought down to earth. Amar Lefanav, he says to him, Rebbeinu Shloilam, the Pasuk says, Loi Keil Chofetz Resha Ata, you Hashem do not desire wickedness. Loi Yigurcha, the word Bim Gurcha doesn't belong over here, it's not in the Pasuk. Loi Yigurcha Ra, evil does not dwell with you, which means tzaddik ata Hashem, you Hashem are a tzaddik, lo yogur b'mgurcha ra, nothing evil will dwell with you. Mochon is one of the higher levels of Shemayim, which to a certain extent can be described as with Hashem, even though, as we're going to say soon, Hashem is infinitely beyond them. So those kinds of negative things don't belong up there in Shemayim, let them be on earth instead. Tosfos says, I mean, the fact is that rain and snow and whatnot still fall from the heavens. So one possibility Tosfos says is it only looks like it. Really, they come from earth, and then they evaporate and they form clouds, which then as far as we're concerned, they come from heaven, but they come initially from water vapor from the earth. Or Tosfos says maybe actually you have two different kinds. We just talked about, for example, dew and rain and things like that. No, not rain, dew and hail and snow and things like that that have negative purposes. So those the damaging ones come from the earth. The beneficial ones still come from Shemayim. What would that mean that David wants them on earth instead of in Shemayim? I haven't found anything that explains it, but maybe the idea is that David is saying it shouldn't be that Hashem decides by Sarusa de la Ela when they should come and when not. Instead, it should depend on Sarusa de la Sata, depending on if people are misbehaving, then fine, you know, they cause their own punishment to Yasrich or Osich, to use an expression from a pasuk, and therefore they deserve to have these kinds of bad weather events. But it shouldn't just be that Hashem, so to speak, decides unilaterally for reasons known only to him that these things have to come. Maybe that's what it means. Okay. The Gemara says, "Umenolan de ikri shemayim." Again, how do we know that the word "mochon" is a name of shemayim? Dichtiv va'ata tishma shemayim mochon shivtecha. Shlomo says in his tefillah by the Chanukah Sabayis, he says, "May you listen from shemayim, from the mochon of where you dwell." So we see that this is one of the higher levels of shemayim. And in fact, what among the things that Shlomo is saying over there is that when in that tefillah, when there's no rain, when there's a drought, then Hashem should send rain, and when there are disasters, then Hashem should listen to the people's tefillahs. So all of that is associated with Mohan. Next comes the seventh heaven, Aravos. Shabbat Tzedek, the word Aravos is used in a number of places in Tanakh to mean heaven. It's used that way a few times in Tillim, for example. The Gemara is going to quote a pasuk soon. So that's the seventh and highest Shemayim, Shaboy Tzedek Mishpat Tzedakah. There you have Tzedek, righteousness, and Mishpat, justice, and Tzedakah. Marshall explains the difference between Tzedek and Tzedakah. Tzedek means making sure that everything is fairly apportioned. Tzedakah means giving more lefnim meshuras hadin. So both of those things, both of those things are found over there. Ginze chayim veginze shalom, the storehouses of life and the storehouses of peace. In other words, when Hashem gives a bracha of life or a bracha of shalom and so forth, it comes from there. The ginze bracha and the storehouses of bracha. V'nishmasen shal tzaddikim, and the neshamas of the tzaddikim, v'ruchas and neshamas sh'asad li'ibaris, and the spirits and the neshamas that are yet to be created. So Rashi says, ruchas and neshamas may mean the same thing. They may just be two synonyms. Or the other possibility is ruach is the neshama that's in the shape of the body. In other words, what's called in Chassidus nefesh achyunis, the neshama, the nefesh, the aspect of the nefesh that keeps a person alive and running, and neshama then would be the breath that Hashem puts into a person. Anyway, so all of those are stored over there. There's the famous thing that says that in ben David bad sheikh will call neshama shuba guf. That Mashiach will come when all of the neshamas in Guf have been used up. So Guf is a storehouse in this Aravos over here, where the neshamas that are yet to be created are located. And also the Tal Sha'asid, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, L'Hachis B'Mesim, there also is the dew with which Hashem is going to do Tchias Amesim. So let's go through each of these things and show how they're as close as possible among the various heavens to Hashem, meaning, in other words, again, you know, Hashem himself, as we're going to say soon, is far beyond any of that. But nevertheless, you have the seventh and highest heaven is the, in a sense, the space closest to Hashem. In terms of Chassidus, we would probably describe it as Atzilus. So all of these things, so we have to show how each of these things that we just described is associated with that. The pasuk says righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. So since, as we're going to say soon, Hashem's throne is kavyochol above that seventh heaven, therefore it follows that those things have to be in the seventh heaven in Aravos to be the supports for it. tzedakah. Where do we see that tzedakah is there? Dichtiv bayubash tzedakah kashuyan. You have a pasuk that describes Hashem wearing tzedakah like a garment of armor. So therefore, so in other words, so to speak, Hashem's wardrobe, including his armor, is there. And Hashem puts that, and Hashem puts it on, and then is malbush himself in it where appropriate. Ginzei chayim, the storehouses of life. Dichtiv ki imcha makor chayim. The pasuk says, with you is the source of life. So again, with you means in this highest level of Shemayim. The Ginzei Shalom, the storehouses of peace. Dichtiv vayikra lo Hashem Shalom. He called him Hashem of peace. Now, in context, what it means is that. It means the pasuk is describing how Gideon built the Mizbeach and named it Hashem Shalom, Hashem is peace, to that everybody who sees the Mizbeach will remind themselves that Hashem is the one who brings peace to the world. But we're understanding it differently over here. Vayikra loy Hashem, we're parsing the pasuk differently. Hashem called to it, namely, what's the it? Shalom. So in other words, Hashem called to it, and so to speak, like placed it as close as possible to him. So therefore, so we see that it's there in that seventh heaven. The Ginzei Bracha, the storehouses of Bracha, we know are there. Dichtiv Yisa Bracha Me'es Hashem, as the pasuk says, he'll be able to carry a Bracha from Hashem. So therefore, again, Me'es Hashem means from with Hashem. Therefore, again, representing that it's as close as possible to Hashem. Nishmasen shal tzaddikim, and the neshamas of the tzaddikim are there. Dichtiv v'hoisa nefesh adoni tzrura v'tzrura chayim es Hashem alekecha. Abigail says to David, the neshama of my master, meaning you, will be bound up in the bond of life with Hashem. So again, with Hashem means that it's as high as possible. This is the famous expression that says that the neshamas of tzaddikim are under the kisei hakavod. Ruchas and neshamas sha'osid lihibaris, we say the spirits and the neshamas that are yet to be born, we know that they're there. Dichtiv ki ruach melefana yatev. The pasuk says, a spirit wraps itself and comes out from before me, or neshamas ani osisi, and the neshamas that I made. So we see again, melefana means, in other words, that they're as close as possible to Hashem. So therefore, they're there. The tal she'osid HaKadosh Baruch Hu lahachis b'meisim. How do we know that the dew with which Hashem is going to revive the meisim? How do we know that that's located there? Dichtiv geshem nedaves tonif alekim. Hashem, you make a generous rainfall fall. Nachlos chavanila atachinanta. Your heritage, meaning the Jewish people, when they were weary, when they were worn out, atachinanta, you reestablished them with that. So we're talking about the Geshem Nedavos, we're talking about is the dew, the Tal Shel Tchiyah that Hashem used at Matan Torah. By Matan Torah, the Jewish people's neshamas left them, and Hashem sent down the Tal Shel Tchiyah to revive them. So therefore, Rashi points out that pasuk is part of Kapitel Samaches, where much of that kapitel talks about the events of Matan Torah. So this is one of them as well. And so the pasuk is saying that Hashem used that Tal Shel Tchiyah at that time to revive them then. And again, the expression is that the expression Tonif Elikim, that Hashem, you make it wave down to them. So therefore, we see that do is to be found as close as possible to Hashem. So that do was used then by Matan Torah, and it will be used again for Tchiyas HaMeisim. So those are all the things that are located there. That's not all the things that are located there. Sham Ofanim was Srof and Bechayis HaKodesh. There also in that Shemayim called Arovos, you can find over there that Ofanim and Srofim and Bechayis HaKodesh, or Malachi HaSharis, and the Malachim who minister to Hashem, all various levels of Malachim, in which case, actually, we may not be talking about Atzilus, because in general, in Chassidus, we talk about that various categories of Malachim, some of them are found in Bria, some of them are found in Yetzirah, so we're still talking a very high level, but not necessarily Atzilus. Anyway, the Kisei HaKavod, and there you also find the Kisei HaKavod. Melech Keil Chai Rom V'Nisa Sheichen Aleihem Ba'al Rovos. Then Hashem, the living godly king who's high and exalted, rests on top of them in our Rovos. Hagoyes HaBach takes out the word Ba'al Rovos because Hashem is far beyond our Rovos. He rides on it, as the Gemara is going to say. Shenema, as the Pasuk says, Solu, praise, in that same capital, Samaches, Solu, Lo praise l'roichiv arovis to the one who rides upon arovis bekoshmai with his name. Praise him with his name Yudke, which are the letters with which Hashem created the world. The Yud nivra olam abba, the Hey nivra olam azeh. So that's the highest of the levels of Shemayim arovis, and then Hashem is above that. Umenolam de ikri Shemayim. So how do we know that arovis is a name for a level of Shemayim? So that Asya Rechiva, Rechiva, that we learn by Exeter Shava on the word Rechiva, riding. Ksiva Chasoyla L'Roichiv Barovis. Here it describes that Hashem rides upon Arovis. Uchtivasim Roichiv Shemayim Be'ezrecha. You have a different pasuk where it describes Hashem as riding upon the Shemayim to come to your help. So we see therefore that where it describes Hashem as Roichiv, then it means we're talking about the level of Arovis. Next, v'choshech v'onen v'arofa makifin oisoi, darkness and cloud and fog surround Hashem, Shenema, as the pasuk says, yoshes choshech sisrei svivoisav, yoshes choshech sisrei, Hashem makes darkness his concealment, sisrei svivoisav, he makes it as a hiding around him, as hiding around him as a sukkah, cheshchasmayim, the darkness of water, meaning the fog, ove shchokim, the thick shchokim. We said before that shchokim is the name for one of the levels of shemayim. So therefore we see that there's darkness surrounding Hashem kavyachol. It means, in other words, in terms brought in Kabbalah and in Chassidus, there's the tzimtzumim, there's the what's called the prosa, the curtain that separates Atzilus from the worlds below it. So that's represented over here by Choshech, Onan, V'Arov. In fact, the three of them may possibly represent the fact that you have the separation between three different worlds, between Atzilus and Bria, between Bria and Yetzirah, and between Bria and Asira, and between Bria and between Yetzirah and Asira. So the question is, Umiika Choshecha Kamei Shmaya? Is there darkness in front of Hashem? Doesn't the pasuk say, "Hu goli amikosa umsatrasa"? Hashem reveals deep things and hidden things. This is part of Daniel's tefillah when Hashem told him the meaning of Nebuchadnezzar's dream. So he reveals the deep and the hidden things. Yoda mava hashoicha. He knows what's in the darkness. Unahoira imei shrei. And light rests together with him. So we see that, so to speak, there is light around Hashem, not darkness. And the answer is like Kasha, there's no contradiction. Habavati gavoy, habavati baroy. There's a difference between the inner chambers and the outer chambers. In the inner chambers, there's light. In the outer chambers, there's darkness. Al pi chassidus, in other words, there's Urein Seif Baruch Hu, which is so to speak together with Hashem and united together with Hashem, and then you have around, then you have further out than that, you have the Tzimtzumim, and you have the Kav, and you have the Prasa, and so on and so forth. The Omer of Achaba Yaakov, the author of Achaba Yaakov says, besides the seven heavens that we just listed, there's another Rakia above the heads of the Chayas. We just said the Chayas themselves are in Arovis. Now there's an additional Rakia above them. Dichtiv, as the Pasuk says in Yechezkel's Nevuah, Udmus al Rosh HaChayah Rakia. There is an image above the heads of the Chayas. There's an expanse of another level of heaven. Ke'ena Kerach HaNoira, like awesome ice. In other words, it's brilliantly white, and you look at it like you're awed by the whiteness by the whiteness of it. So therefore, so he says, Ad kan yesh lecha reshus ledaber, up to this point, you have permission to talk about. You can talk about the seven heavens. You can talk about what's in each one. You can talk about the Chayis HaKodesh, which is the Merkava that we're going to talk about soon. Mikan ve'elach ein lecha reshus ledaber. Beyond that, you don't have permission to speak about, because beyond that, we're talking about Atzmus Mahus, and no terms that we can use can capture what is there. Shekain Kosov the Sefer Ben Sira, as in fact it says in the book of Ben Sira, which is a book that was written early in the time of the second Beis Hamikdash. The Gemara in Sanhedrin says that you shouldn't be reading it on an ongoing basis. But nevertheless, the Gemara says there are good things in it that we can dash in, and this is one of them. He says, "B'muflam imcha al tidrosh." Don't delve into don't delve into things that are too wondrous for you to know. Don't try to figure out things that are hidden, that are concealed from you. Only consider and think about things that you're allowed to think about. You have no business with things that are hidden and beyond what a human being can understand. So Maharsha explains the double expression, b'muflam imchal tidrish, or b'mechusim imchal tachker, is talking about maise merkava and maise bereshis respectively, which is we're now in the middle of talking about maise bereshis and saying that there are restrictions on how much you can learn of it so that a person doesn't come to misunderstand it. So therefore, so Ben Sira is giving the same kind of warning. And then he's saying, not only is he saying about Maisa Maokava, which we're going to talk about soon, and also about Maisa Bereshis. On the other hand, he's saying, the Masha Husheisa Hisbonin, he says as a positive commandment, do think into, do consider what you're allowed to, because a person has a responsibility to use their brain to try to understand all the course as much as possible. But you have to be careful to know beyond what you can't go. The Gemara says, Tanya, Amar Rav Yechon ben Zakkai, let's talk about how great is the distance between the earth and Hashem's Kisei HaKavod. So Rav Yechon ben Zakkai says, Mat Shuvah Hashivatu Baskol La'Oseh Rosha, what answer did a Baskol tell that Rosha, Nebuchadnezzar, B'Shasha Amar, when he said, he boasted, I will go up on a high cloud. I will be similar to the highest one, meaning Hashem. So he claimed that he could be on Hashem's level. So what did a Baskel answer him? Says Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai. Yotza Baskel v'Amrali. A Baskel came out and said to him, Rosha ben Rosha, you Rosha, the son of a Rosha, ben Bnoi shal Nimrod a Rosha, the descendant of Nimrod a Rosha, Shehimrid kol olam kulay olav machusay, who made the entire world rebel against Hashem during his kingship. Now, Rashi elsewhere says that it doesn't mean, first of all, ben Bnoi means literally the grandson. Nebuchadnezzar is not obviously the grandson of Nimrod. He's well over 1,000 years later. It means he's his descendant. Tosfos says it actually doesn't necessarily even mean that he was his descendant. Nimrod, the Pasuk tells us in Parshas Noach, was a son of Cush. Nebuchadnezzar, we never find particularly, was from the nation of Cush. He was from the nation of Casting. So therefore, so Tosfos says what it means is he's like Nimrod he's like Nimrod in many ways. He also ruled in Shinar, which is Babel, just like Nimrod did. He attacked the Jewish people the same way as Nimrod attacked Avraham Avinu. So there's a certain similarity between them, and therefore he could be called a descendant, meaning a ruchnistic descendant of Nimrod. Anyway, so you, Russia, the word olav, by the way, the Gemara is saying, olav machusay, literally it means that he made the whole world rebel against him. So Rashi explains, in other words, this is it's a nice way of saying that the Gemara doesn't want to say outright that he made the people rebel against Hashem, so therefore it uses the expression that he made them rebel against himself, but we're meant to understand, of course, what it means, that he made them rebel against Hashem. Anyway, the Baskel says to him, you think you can ever go anywhere near the level of Hashem? Think of it like this. Kama shnoisef shel adam, how long does a person live? Shivim shana, usually 70 years. Shinema, as the pasuk says, Yemei Shnei Senim Brahem Shivim Shana, the days of our years, within them usually are 70 years. Being big Buddha, and if a person is particularly strong, Shmonim Shana, then he lives 80 years. Okay, Tosfos points out, Nebuchadnezzar himself had lived longer. He was there in Sancheiriv's times, and he was still there, and he's still there 100 odd years later to destroy the Beis Hamikdash, and then he lived for a couple of decades after that. Fine, so he was unusually long, but still, it's still a finite number of years. It's still far fewer than the number of years we're going to talk about now in the Gemara, which are in the order of thousands or millions of years. So the Baskel tells him, "Va'alomina oretz ad l'rokia mahalach chamesh me'estrana," from the earth until the heaven, until even the first heaven, is a distance of 500 years journey. We learned yesterday what Tosfos said about the letters about the letters within Shin, Dalet, and Yud that represent that 500. You think about it. The Gemara tells us that in many places that the average person could walk 10 parasa a day. So a parasa is about 2.5 or 3 miles. So multiply that by 10, then you're talking about 25 or 30 miles for one day's journey. then multiply that by 365 for the years, then multiply that by 500 for the number of years. So already 500 years journey is already there's already thousands and tens of thousands of miles. And for Ovio Shal Rakia Mahala Chamesh Meestrana, the thickness of the Rakia is another 500 years journey. The Chain Bain Ko Rakia Varakia, the same distance you have between each Rakia and the next. So already you have 15 times 500 years journey, because you have 13, because you have seven rakiyim. Oh no, so far you have to get to the top of the seventh rakiya, there were seven rakiyim, and then you have 500 years between the thickness of each one, and 500 years between one and the next. So by the time we get even to the bottoms of the chayas, we've already gone through 15 times 500. So l'mayla mehen chayas hakodesh, above them are the chayas hakodesh, and within the chayas hakodesh themselves, ragle chayas kneged kulam, the thickness of the feet of the chayas is equal to all the distances that we said so far. So in other words, up until now we had 15 distances of 500. Now the thickness of the feet of the chayas themselves is another 15 times 500 years journey. Shoke achayas kneged kulam. Then the lower legs. Karsule achayas kneged kulam. The karsulim, which is the lowest bone of the foot, the shin bone of the chayas, are equal to everything that we said below. Shoke achayas kneged kulam. Really, what it is actually we're talking about the chayas over here have their legs. We're picturing their legs as in the form of animal legs. An animal's leg has three segments, unlike a person's leg has two. So first you have the ragle achayis, which would be the lowest level bone. Then kausule achayis kineged kulon. Then you have above that. I'm sorry, ragle achayis is the thickness of the feet. Kausule achayis then would be the next higher level above that, the lowest bone of the foot. That's kausule achayis kneged kulam. Shoke achayis kneged kulam. Then the shoik, which is the next higher level of the leg, corresponds to equals all of what was below. So in other words, again, you have 15 times 500 just to reach the bottoms of the feet of the chayis. Now you have the feet of the chayis themselves are 15 times 500 thick. Now the lower part of the leg, the lowest bone of the leg, is now 30 times 500 because it's equal to everything below it. Alpi Chassidus, what it means, in other words, is there's many places in Chassidus that it talks about that the lowest level of one olam becomes the highest level of the next one. You have the idea that's brought there for that malchus of one world becomes keser, which is the source of all the spheres of the next world. So that's what we mean over here, ragle achayis and the rest of them, kneged kulam, that each one of these levels includes all the levels below it. So therefore, it can be described metaphorically as being that each one is the size of everything below it, because that's how it is. In other words, in Ruchnius, each one incorporates within it everything that's below it in a hidden way. So that's Shoke Achayis Kineged Kulon, Ruchuve Achayis Kineged Kulon, the knees of the Chayis. Or actually, to be exact, Rashi says is Ruchuve is Hu Etzma Yerech Asomoch L'Shoik, is the next higher bone of the leg, the thigh bone. So that is also Kineged Kulon. That's equal to everything that was below it so far. Yarke Achayis Kineged Kulon, the thighs themselves, the Rashi says means the end of the bone that stuck that fits into the hip bone. Those are Kineged Kulon. Gufei Achayis Kineged Kulon. Above that, you have the bodies of the Chayis HaKodesh, and those are equal to everything that we said so far. Sabrei Achayis Kineged Kulon. Their necks are yet another level, which includes everything below it, and therefore, so they're equal in size to everything below them. Roshei Achayis Kineged Kulon. The heads of the Chayis are equal to everything below them. Kaunei Achayis Kineged Kulon, and the horns of the Chayis equal everything that's below them. So far we're talking about a very, very large distance. Tosfos, by the way, points out here that if you have 15, if we said up till the Chayis HaKodesh, you have 15 you have 15 spaces of 500 each. So that's represented by the word yeshara. The word, the pasuk says, "Viraglehem rego yeshara." And the Ma'aseh Merkava, it says the feet of the chayas was straight. But the word yeshara, yud shin resh hey, contains in it shin resh, which equals 500, and yud kei, meaning 15. So you have it represents the 15 times 500 that we're talking about until you even reach the chayas hakodesh. Tosfos also brings over here from the Yerushalmi that actually what it is that you have, it's not just 15 times 500, there's something else that can be, in a certain way, it can be described as 515 times 500. So not 500 times 15, but 515 times 500. Tosfos also mentions over here, by the way, in this connection, something from the Piyutim of Rabbi Elazar HaKaller, and here Tosfos says the famous point that they say that this Rabbi Elazar HaKaller, the Python, was actually none other than the Tana Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. So we say a lot of Rabbi Elazar HaKaller's piyutim in various places throughout the year. Many of the piyutim we say on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur come from him. Many of these some of the slichos that we say on Tanesim come from him, and so on and so forth. Tfilas Talon, Tfilas Geshem, I think, come from him, etc. So now Tosfos is telling us that he was actually the Tana Rabbi Elazar Reb Shimon. One thing Tosfos points out is that in his times there was still Makadosh al Piyotim, which is why he only wrote piyutim for the first day Rosh Hashanah. If you look in the Siddur, if you look in the Machzor, rather, on the second day of Rosh Hashanah from Musaf, you have very little piyutim, because the piyutim for the first day were written by Rabbi Elazar HaKaller, but in his times, he only had one day of Rosh Hashanah. Therefore, he didn't write piyutim for a second day, and therefore we have very few piyutim for the second day of Rosh Hashanah. Anyway, so getting back to the Gemara, so now, above all of that, above that is the Kisei HaKavod, and then you have still further levels that include everything below them. Ragle Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulan, the feet of the Kisei HaKavod include everything below them, so all the numbers that we have so far have to be added together to get to the height of just the feet of the Kisei HaKavod. Kisei HaKavod Keneged Kulan, and then the body of the Kisei HaKavod itself is equal to everything below it. And Melech Keil Chai V'Kayim Rom Menisa Sheikhan Aleihem, and then you only then do you get to Hashem sitting on the throne. V'Ata Marta. So now with all of that, you're talking about millions of years worth of travel. When you, a human being, live only usually 70 or 80 years. V'Ata Marta Ela Bomase Oved Gamel Elyon. You, the Rosh and Nebuchadnezzar, are saying that I'm going to go up on a cloud and I'm going to be similar to Hashem. No, instead, what's going to happen is what it says in the next pasuk there in Yeshaya, Achal Sha'ol Turad, rather, instead, you'll be thrown down into Sha'ol, into Gehenim, El Yaukase Bur, into the deepest pit. So you're not going to end up anywhere near Hashem. If you thought, on the contrary, you're going to be thrown down to the deepest, lowest level. Okay, so that gives us some conception of how much greater, how far beyond our world even lower levels of Elikos are, even the world of Bria and Yetzira, let alone when we talk about Atzilus and when we talk about beyond Atzilus. With that said, you know, of course, there's the Gemara mentions in other places the fact that we use over here the term Rom Venisa Shoichin Ad. Rom Menisa we use for Hashem, and the Gemara mentions we learned it most recently in Megillah that B'makom Shemata Motzi V'Gulasa Shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu Shemata Motzi In V'Nasusai, that you find at the same time you find Hashem's, so to speak, humility and condescension, that Hashem condescends to look at us, the Nivroim, who are so infinitely lower than him, as we're describing over here in the Gemara, and to pay attention to us and to be interested in what we do and so forth. This is the kind of thing, by the way, that the Alter Rebbe explains in Tanya, why we have the brachas of Krishma before Krishma. The content of the brachas themselves doesn't seem directly to have to do with Krishma. But we talk over there about the Ifanim and the Chayis HaKodesh and so forth that Hashem created, and we say that they are Botel Telekus, and we're learning over here now in the Gemara how far beyond us they are, millions of light years away, and higher than us, and still they have a bittul towards Hashem, so that helps give a person a perspective and to realize and then to be able to develop an ava and a yira for such a great Hashem who has such great malachim even serving him and being brought to him.
Okay, Rabbi, the Mishnah. This conversation that he's having with Hashem, was this before he was thrown into the woods and made like a dog and he was away and Hashem put him in his place?
It may very well be, because after it, we do find that at least he said that I recognize that Hashem runs the world. So yes, it's very possible that that was before he was made to go crazy and run off into the animal and run off into the woods and live as an animal. Yeah, I mean, it doesn't say one way or the other. There was some point there where Nebuchadnezzar was priding himself on that I'm a godlike creature, and yeah, Hashem was telling him this with this masko to put him in his place. Yeah. So the Mishnah had said v'loyba merkava b'yochid. The Mishnah had said that when it comes to the mice merkava, you don't even teach it to one person at a time, unless we said he's chacham u'mevin midaita, unless he's wise and is able to understand on his own the basics of what you teach him. So Tony Rav Chiya avol moisrin lo roshe prakim. So Rav Chiya said in a brisa that this yochid, though, you can give him roshe prakim. You can give him the beginnings of the section. In other words, you teach him like the first. The first pasuk, or the first couple of psukim of it, and he can understand the rest on his own. But there's limitations in that also. Amar Rav Zeira, ein moistrin roshei prakim ela la'av beis din. To give over these roshei prakim has to be only to an av beis din. And anybody whose heart is worried within him. So it would mean, in other words, his heart is worried. In other words, he's a serious person. Rashi says he's not makalos rosh. He doesn't have kalos rosh, so he's not going to take the ideas that you're going to tell him and treat them lightheadedly. So according to that version, we're saying that two different possibilities. You can tell them to an av beistin, or you can tell them to somebody that liba doig b'kivoy. Ikadamri, another version is that it's two things. It has to be an abbasin and libay in order for you to be able to tell him even the roshe prakim. There is actually a sicha where they ever talk about that libay doig v'kirboy can mean also the person is concerned over the fact there's an area of Torah that I don't know yet, and he has that concern. How could it be? There's an area of Torah that I haven't had a chance to learn yet, and I want to learn it. That's the definition of libo doig b'kirbei. Because then you see that he's learning l'shem shamayim. So the Gemara continues. Amar Rav Ami, ein moistrin sisrei Torah. You cannot reveal the secrets of Torah. You cannot hand over the secrets of Torah. Ela l'mishi yesh b'chamisha dvarim. Only if the person has the following five qualities that are described in a pasuk. Sar chamishim. Literally means a captain of 50. Meaning, in other words, literally it means like he's in charge of 50 people. Unasu upon him, and whose face is elevated. In other words, he's a respected person. The yoyitz, and he's an advisor. He's able to advise people. The chacham charoshim, and he's a wise man of thoughts. The word charoshim comes from a word for thoughts. Unavoin lochash, and he has the understanding of whispered secrets. Now, later on Daf Yud Dalet, actually, we'll learn tomorrow, Bez Hashem, the Gemara is going to go through all of these and explain what each of them signifies, what advantage that a person might have is described in each of these phrases. Actually, Ben Yehoyada over here says that what it means is that it's like this. It's somewhat differently than the way the Gemara is going to explain. The Gemara is going to explain them later on Daf Yud Dalet in a different context, but here Ben Yehoyada says like this. The fact that he's sar chamishim means, in other words, he has people available to do whatever he wants. So therefore, he doesn't have to worry about his parnasa. Therefore, he's able to participate in learning Torah. Nesu ponim means that he's patient. He doesn't get angry. Therefore, because if he's angry, then he forgets his Torah. Yoyitz means that he has the ability to advise, meaning, in other words, to figure out from the hints that he's given what the subject is, as we're saying over here, that you tell him Roshi Prakim. But Chacham Charoshim means that he has the ability to discern and to realize and to think who it's proper to learn Torah from and who not, because you can't learn Torah from a Rosha. And Unuvoin Lochash means that he's discerning and understanding as far as secrets, he knows when to reveal and when not to reveal secrets. So those are the qualities that a person needs in order to be told the Roshei Prakim of Ma'aseh Merkava. you know, nowadays, you know, here we're going to have in the Gemara is going to discuss some parts of Ma'aseh Merkava. And of course, you know, as we've said before, the Arizal says nowadays mutar mitzvah legalis zuah chachma. Ultimately, we come to the expression that the Alter Rebbe said, the famous mashal with the pearl and the prince who was deathly ill. That even if we're going to take this pearl of Ma'aseh Merkava and grind it up and get cam one drop of it into the mouth of the prince, and it will revive him. So that's what Torah Sachsidus is for, that Hashem was willing to have that pearl of Ma'aseh Merkava, which should be given only to people of such high qualities and disseminated all over the whole world. Since we're talking about, getting back to the Gemara, since we're talking about who you're allowed to give over certain kinds of Torah to, so the Gemara digresses for a second to something else. But Amar Rav Ami, Ein Moistrim Divrei Torah Lo'ovid Kechavim. You're also not allowed to give over words of Torah to a goy. Shenema, as the pasuk says, Loi Osa Chaim L'chol Goy. Hashem did not do like this for any nation. U'mishpatim Bal Yadom. They don't know Hashem's laws, so therefore, in other words, Torah is meant to be off limits to them. Now, an interesting point, Goyis Ma'arav Ranshburg points out, is that the poskim don't bring that din. Now, why not? So there's a lot of reasons. First of all, there are poskim who hold that, in fact, okay, the Gemara is saying it. It's not necessarily that that's the last word on the subject. Rav Ami is saying that doesn't necessarily mean that the halacha is like that. Maybe, in fact, you are allowed to. And different poskim talk about different possibilities. Different Rishonim and Achronim talk about different possibilities. For example, maybe you're allowed to teach them Torah Shebichsav, or at least that you're allowed to teach them Nevi'im and Ksuvim. Maybe even within Torah Shabbat Peh, you're allowed to teach it to them. First of all, they have to learn the things that they need to know. They need to know the Sheva Mitzvot Bnei Noach and the various outgrowths of them. So that for sure you'd be allowed to. And then possibly different Rishonim and Achronim talk about different possibilities of what you might be allowed and not allowed to teach them. Tosfos mentions over here that also a goy himself has an isser to learn Torah, but there can be a case where it's not a matter of that you're causing him to do an aveda l'fnei iver, because, for example, suppose there's a case where another goy is available to teach him, where the Gemara tells us elsewhere that then l'fnei iver doesn't apply if somebody else could do it. One thing is there's definitely you have, for example, when there were shiurei Torah on the radio and things like that, where goyim and Jews can listen to it equally. There were Piskei Tshuva on that, and the Rebbe talked about it, and Moshe Feinstein talked about it, etc. That's fine, because your purpose is to teach Yidden. Goyim can tune into the station and hear as well, but it doesn't matter. Your primary purpose there is to teach Jews, and therefore that's for sure allowed, even if it's areas of Torah that are not supposed to be meant for Goyim. So in practice, that may be why the poskim didn't bring this kind of thing, because there were all kinds of exceptions to it. Onward, the Gemara says, Amalei Rav Yochanan Rav Elazar, Rabbi Yechanan offers to Rabbi Elazar, let me teach you Ma'aseh Merkava. Omalei, so Rabbi Elazar says, no, loy kashoy, I'm not old enough yet. You need to be a certain minimum age to be able to learn these kinds of things. Later on, the Gemara is going to say that you need to be 50 years old. There's places where it talks about that you need to be 40 years old, but later on, the Gemara says 50. Key cash by the time he had reached that age, noch nafshe did Rabbi Yechanan, then Rabbi Yechanan passed away, so he missed his opportunity to learn from Rabbi Yechanan. Marsha, by the way, points out, didn't we say before that you only teach it to an av beistin? The answer is, when the person is an av beistin, even if he doesn't have the quality that we said in the Mishnah, chocham u'mevin midaito, where he's smart enough to, you'll tell him the Rosh Hashanah, and he'll understand the rest. That even if he doesn't have the ability to do that, as long as he's an av beistin, fine. Rav Elazar had that ability, so therefore, even though he's not an av beistin, then Rav Yechanan wanted to teach it to him, but it didn't work out. So then, Amalei Rav Asi tova agmer rochav b'maisim rochava. So then, Rav Asi offered him to teach it to him. Amalei, so Rav Elazar says, no, izakoi. I can see I don't have the schus to do it. If I had had the schus, gemirtim Rav Yechanan rabach, then I would have been able to learn it from your Rebbe Rav Yechanan. In other words, Rav Yechanan, the Eibishter would have helped, that Rav Yechanan would have lived long enough till after I turned 50, and then I would have been able to learn it from him. So therefore, now I can see that it's min hashamayim that I shouldn't learn it. Another example, Rabbi Yosef have a govern ma'aseh merkava. Rabbi Yosef had learned the details of ma'aseh merkava. Sover de Pumbedisa have a ton of ma'aseh bereshis. The elder to Tamar Chacham of Pumbedisa, which the Gemara elsewhere identifies as Rabbi Yehuda and Rabbi Eina, had learned ma'aseh bereshis. They had learned ma'aseh bereshis. Gomer means like he had learned it thoroughly. Tonu means they had learned braises about it. So they asked Rabbi Yosef to teach them Maisa Merkava. So he tells them, Agmarunli Maisa Bereshis. First, you teach me Maisa Bereshis, and then we'll go from there. So they taught him Maisa Bereshis. Bosser de Agmarun, after they taught it to him, Omrule Ligmarun Mar the Maisa Merkava. Rebbe, teach us Maisa Merkava. And he said, I'm not going to. Omalahu, Taneda Bahu, we learn regarding Maisa Merkava, Dvash Bechol of Tachas Lashonich, honey and milk should be only under your tongue, which means Dvorim Amasukin, Midvash Bechol of words of Torah that are sweeter than honey and then milk, you Tachas Lashoncha should be underneath your tongue. In other words, you shouldn't just reveal them to anybody. So in other words, he felt they're not on the level to be able to Maisa Bredeshis, fine, they've learned it already. He felt they're not on the level to learn Maisa Merkava. So in other words, they weren't going to learn it from him together, because we said you could only learn it via Chidus. But he's saying he felt that they're not Chocham Umevin Midaita. Rabbi Bohu says that he learned it from here, a different pasuk, Kvosim Lulavoshecha, which literally means that sheep will be your clothing, in other words, the wool from the sheep. But we darshan the word kvosim as kvoshim, meaning things that are concealed, dvarim shev kivshoni shel olam, things that are the concealed, the hidden things of the world, ma'is merkava, your tachas levushcha, should be underneath your clothing. In other words, so he was able to accomplish this way that he, it's almost like what we call a chassidish gneva. He was able to get them to teach him Maisa Merkava, Maisa Bereshis, but meanwhile he felt that you know Maisa Bereshis already very good, but you're not ready yet for Maisa Merkava. Omrule, well, the Soviet Pumbedisa told him, Tanenen Bahu Adba Yomer Elai Ben Adam. We've learned it all the way. We've learned the first parak of Yechezkel, which is where it talks about the Merkava, and we learned all the way until the beginning of the parak days by Yomer Elai Ben Adam. Omalahu. So he says to them, oh, well, in that case, Hain, Maisa Merkava. In that case, what you learned is the Maisa Merkava. In other words, because that entire parak describes the Merkava. But the main concern that the Chachamim had about a person learning Maisa Merkava, now, like we said before, we described the Chayis HaKodesh and all the levels of Shemayim and so on and so forth. So Yechezkel describes them at great length. But there's not so much of an objection to learning those. We're not saying that there's such a danger in learning those. The danger comes in. You have Pesukim at the end of Perek Aleph, which we read as the Haftorah on the first day of Shavuos, that is where Yechezkel describes that he sees the Kisei HaKavod. He sees, so to speak, Hashem himself sitting on it. He sees Dmus Odom, and he sees fire and Chashmal surrounding him, which we'll talk about soon what Chashmal is, and the whole thing looked like the vision of the rainbow. So those psukim are the central part of the Maisa Merkava. Those are the ones that the Chachamim are makbid, that you don't want to douche them to people, because they describe the appearance of the Shechina. So now, those psukim are those psukim, apostle Chavav, Chavzayin, Chavches, primarily of Perek Aleph, but Rabbi Yosef is saying, you're telling me that you learned all the way until the end of that Perek, and you're already up to Perek Beis. Well, in that case, you've already learned the part that describes the Maisa Merkava, so in other words, you don't need to learn it from me. So the Gemara says, Maisi, I have a contradiction. Ad Heichan Maisa Merkava. Up to what point is the Maisa Merkava that you have these restrictions on learning and teaching the people? Rebbe Omer Ad Vo'ere Basra. Rebbe says until the last time in that perek that it says the word Vo'ere. Three times in that perek, Yechezkel says Vo'ere, I saw. First, he says he saw a Ruach Sa'ara V'onan Gadol, a great storm wind and cloud which surrounds the Shechina, like we said before, Kav Yachol, and we're going to talk about on Amud Beis what that was. In Tanya, the Altareva points out that those things, Onan Gadol, the three things that are mentioned in the Pasuk over there, he sees Ruach Sa'ara V'onan Gadol, V'esh Mislakachas, V'noigach Loi Saviv, those are the Sholosh Klippas Atmeis and Klippas Noigach. Anyway, so first he says Vo'era on those. Then a few psukim later, he says Vo'era that I observed the chayas and I noticed them. And then a few psukim later, he says Vo'era ke'en chashmal. I saw an appearance of chashmal surrounding the figure, the dmus adam asher al dmus akisei, the so to speak, the figure of a man sitting on the throne. So the Rebbe says up till that last Vo'era is considered Maisa Merkava. Rabbi Yitzchok Omer Ad HaChashmal. Rabbi Yitzchok says until where it describes in that pasuk the Chashmal. So in other words, it's a difference. It's a difference of one pasuk because, or not one pasuk, but part of a pasuk. Within that pasuk, it starts by saying, "Vo'era ke'en chashmal." I saw an appearance of chashmal, and the rest of the pasuk describes it in human terms. Describes that the above his waist, below his waist, kavyachol. So Rebbe is saying up to the beginning of that pasuk is ma'aseh merkava, and Rebbe Yitzchok says up till the word chashmal. So either way, those are before the end of the parak. So whereas Rabbi Yosef seems to be implying that the entire parak, including the last pasuk of it, is which describes that it was like the appearance of the rainbow, that all of that is part of Ma'aseh Merkava. The answer is ad va'era migmarinon. The answer is up till that last va'era, we can learn it pasuk by pasuk, and we can learn about the chayas hakodesh and everything that are there. Mikan va'elach masrinon roshei prakim. After that, we can only tell over roshei prakim, only the beginnings, the chapter headings of the subject, and the Talmud Chacham has to understand the rest of it on his own. Ikadamri, another version is ad va'era masrinon roshei prakim, up to va'era. Up to the description of beginning of the Odom Asher Lakisei, we can talk about Rosh Prakim, Mikan Va'elach. After that, we can't even learn Rosh Prakim, Im Hu Chocham, Maven Midaite Ein. If he's a Chocham and can understand it on his own, Ein, then good, Eloi, Loi, and if not, then not. So the point is, in other words, so the entire Perek is Ma'aseh Merkava. Those two Psukim have special restrictions on them. In fact, Rashi says on the first Pasuk over there, on the first one of those Psukim, where it says that that Yechezkel saw a vision of a man sitting on a throne, Rashi says, where they're flat out, it's also to think, it's also to delve into and think into that pasuk, because then you're gonna end up thinking that Hashem has a form of a human being, and you can't do that. Okay, so the Sabbat de Pumbedissa are telling Rabbi Yosef they learned the entire parak. So he says, okay, you're already past the part that talks about that talks about the central part of the Ma'aseh Merkava. Now, it comes out that at least according to Rabbi Yitzchak, you're allowed to darshan on the word chashmal that it says over there. And the Gemara is going to describe, the Gemara is going to explain soon what chashmal is. In modern Hebrew, by the way, the word chashmal means electricity, but in other words, here in the Pesukim, it means something else altogether, of course. Anyway, so the question is, umi darshinin b'chashmal? Since when are we allowed to darshan about chashmal at all? Wasn't there an example of a young boy who was darshaning about chashmal? The nafka nura v'achalte, and a fire came out and burned him. So it's off limit to learn. The answer is shiny yenuka delemati zimne. It's different with a child. It's not time for him yet to learn. He's too young to be learning this kind of thing. Therefore, he was burnt by a fire. An adult, as long as he's we're saying that he's of the proper age and chacham or maven midaite, etc., then yes, he can darshan about what chashmal is, as the Gemara is going to explain soon. So in this connection, the Gemara says, "Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Bram zochu oiso ish latov." Indeed, the word Bram means like MS. It's true that this man should be remembered for good. But Hananiah ben Chizkiah Shmai, his name is Hananiah ben Chizkiah. Il Molehu, if it weren't for him, Nignas Sefer Yechezkel. Sefer Yechezkel would have been hidden away. It would have been taken out of Tanakh. Show you Dvarav Soisrin, Divrei Torah, because there are various things in Sefer Yechezkel that seem to contradict the Torah. There are many things towards the end of Yechezkel. It talks about the korbanos that are going to be brought la'osid lavoi. It talks about various dinim as far as the koyanim and so forth. And many of them on the surface seem to contradict the dinim that it says in the Torah. So the Chachamim wanted to hide it away. And that would mean that also the Ma'aseh Merkava that was in Yechezkel would also be lost. So what did Hananiah ben Chizkiah do? Hel olay gimel meis garvei shemen. They brought up for him 300 containers full of oil. So that way he would have oil for a lamp to light to be able to work and write out on this. The Yoshabalia, he sat in the second floor of his house, the Doshai, and he went through and darshan all those psukim and explained how they don't contradict the Torah. Some of those drushas we have in Gemaras in various places. Some of them, in fact, they weren't written down, so they were, or they were, but they weren't copied out enough, and therefore they were lost. So Osid Lobe will understand all of them, but nowadays we only understand some of them. But in any case, that was enough for the Chachamim to see that it doesn't contradict the Torah, and therefore that nobody's going to think it does, and therefore we can keep it as part of Tanakh and not worry about it. So in this connection, Tana Rabbanan, the same Hanani ben Chizki, another story with him involving the Maisa Merkava, Tana Rabbanan, Maisa Betinik Echad Trey Kurde Bebeis Rabbi Besefer Yecheskel, a child was once learning in his Rebbe's house, in Cheder, he was learning Sefer Yecheskel, Voya Maven Bechashmal, he was delving in and thinking about what Chashmal is, the Yotze Esh Mechashmal was Shrafatu, a fire came out from Chashmal and burnt him. At that point, the Chacham also wanted to hide Sefer Yecheskel. It's too dangerous to have around. But Hananiah ben Chizkiah told them, "Im zeh Chacham hakol Chachamim." If this child is a Chacham and he understands, he's able to learn and understand on a deep level what Chashmal is. Do you think that everybody else hakol Chachamim him? That everybody else are Chachamim are going to be able to understand it? And such that they should be putting their lives in danger? No. So the Sefer can stay as part of Tanakh. Most people are going to learn when it says, "Va'eira ke'en chashmal," that I saw chashmal surrounding Hashem, that they're not going to understand what it is anyway. So therefore, there's not much of a danger in it. So my chashmal, what in fact is chashmal? Amar Rabbi Yehuda, chayos esh memalalois. It means chayos of fire speaking. They speak and fire comes out as they're speaking. The Masnisatana, in a Brisa, we learn that the word chashmal is rather made up of the words chosh and memalil. Itim choshes, itim memalilis. Sometimes the Chayes HaKodesh are silent and sometimes they speak. B'shosha dibu yotzim api HaKodesh Baruch Hu choshes. When Hashem is speaking, then they're silent, as in fact Yechezkel describes in the Psukim over there, by he koil me'al l'rakia, he says, when I heard a voice from above the rakia, then their wings droop down and they stop making sounds. When Hashem is not speaking, then they make noise with their wings and they speak and they sing praises to Hashem. So now the Gemara is going to go through and we're going to talk about details in some of the Psukim over there and explain them. The Pasuk says, V'achayas rotze v'shoiv kimari ha-bozak. The Chayas were running and returning like the appearance of Bozak. This is where we get the expression rotze v'shoiv that's used all over the place in Chassidus, the dynamic that a person, and in this case we're talking about Malachim, want to come close to Hashem, rotze, they're running towards the Likus, but then they realize that they'll be completely bottled and they'll cease to exist, so therefore shoiv, they return back to doing their avodah. So Rashi describes it that they stick their heads above the rakia to see other course, and then that's rotzeh, and then shoiv, and they bring it back down below, and then go back to the avodah of serving Hashem. So the pasuk describes that it's kemarei habozok, like the appearance of bozok. So first of all, my rotzeh v'shoiv, what does it mean running and returning? Amar Rav Yehuda ka'ura yotzim api akivshon. It's like the flame that comes out from a kiln where they're burning limestone to make lime. So you have a big bright fire in there, and you have tongues of flame. You have flames that are always jumping out and then going back in from it. So that's where that gives us a metaphor to understand how the malachim and then a person's neshama are always jumping and running back and forth. Mike Maria Bozok, what do we mean? What does the word Bozok mean? Amr Rabbi Yosi bar Chanina, Ku'ura Yotzim ben Charosim. It means like the fire that comes out from between the earthenware. Meaning Rashi describes like this. First of all, the word Bozok, Rashi explains, means broken pieces. So like this, Rashi explains that when you're refining gold, what you do as part of the process of refining it is you take an earthenware keli, and you make a bunch of holes in it, and then you put it on top of the coals. You have coals where the gold is being melted, and then you put this earthenware keli with holes on top of it, and you also have broken pieces of earthenware to help make the fire bigger, and then you have flames come out through the holes. And the flames are multicolored, and then they go back, they go in and out. So that's Kemarei HaBozak. It describes the kind of rotzeh v'shoiv that we have over here. To describe in human terms the best way that we can something of what's going on with the malach. Earlier in the Psukim, it says Bo'ere, Yechezkel says, "I saw behinei ruach sa'ara ba min atzavin." I saw a storm wind is coming from the north. onan gadol with a thick cloud, the eish mislakachas, and a fire catching onto it, a fire flickering in it, the noigat loisaviv, and a glow surround it, umitoicha, and from within it, keena chashmal, mitoicha eish, was an appearance of chashmal from among the fire, which we just said before what chashmal is. So the question is that he says, I see a storm wind coming from the north together with this onan gadol and so forth. Lahechan ozol, where is it going to? We're saying it came from, but where is it going to? Or Rashi has a different view. So my boy Hossam, what is it doing in Bavel? So again, we just said that the onan gadol, the eish mislakachas, etc., represents shalosh klipot hatmeis. But in other words, we're also talking about that the shechina, so to speak, is going along over there. So what is it? So what is the shechina doing over there? It's going in order to conquer the whole world and put it under the domination of Nebuchadnezzar HaRasha. Now, why is that necessary? That the Jewish people have to be dominated by Nebuchadnezzar. Fine, they've done various averis that Hashem had to do that in order to clean them up. But why does Nebuchadnezzar have to be a world power and ruling over with so many other nations? The reason is that the nations of the world shouldn't say Hashem gave over his people into the hand, his children into the hands of a lowly nation. The Kastim, which is Nebuchadnezzar's people, were originally a very lowly, unimportant nation. In fact, the Rashi on the Pasuk here in Yechezkel quotes from a Pasuk in Yeshaya that says, Hein Eretz Kastim Zeha Om Loi Hoya. This nation of Kastim used to be a nothing nation. They were nobodies. And all of a sudden now they're rulers of the whole known world. So therefore, so Hashem Davka made that this unimportant nation became tremendously powerful and became a world superpower in order that people shouldn't say that the Jewish people were handed over that Hashem handed over his own children to a lowly nation. Tosfos brings over here that this is the expression the Gemara has in some places, kol ha-meitzer li-Yisrael na'aserosh, anybody who harasses the Jewish people becomes a leader. It means, based on our Gemara over here, in other words, he becomes a leader, he becomes great, and then he's in a position to harass and persecute the Jewish people. So the Gemara says, Omer HaKadosh Baruch Hu, means Hashem says in effect, Mi goram li she'eya shamash lo'ev dipsilim, what causes that I, Hashem, have to be, so to speak, serving and giving goodness to those who worship idols? I've been saying, Shal Yisrael, Hein goram li, the Averis of the Jewish people caused that so we should realize that with our Averis, we cause that Hashem is, so to speak, forced to give all this goodness and all this greatness and all this power and everything to people who don't deserve it at all. So one more thing from the description of the Merkava. He says, Yechezkel says, Bo'era hachayis, I saw the chayis, v'hine oifan echad ba'oretz etzal hachayis. I saw that on the ground, meaning not the ground, as in the ground we stand on, in other words, on the rakia, in which these chayis HaKodesh are located, on top of that rakia, which is the ground floor, which is the ground for the next level up. So I saw over there, there's an oifan, there's a wheel-shaped malach, Eitzel Achayis next to the Chayis. So what is this? Amar Rav Elazar, Malach Echad Shu Omid Ba'aretz. This is a Malach who stands on the earth, meaning in other words, again on the lowest level of Shemayim over there. V'roshi Magia Eitzel Achayis, and his head reaches up all the way to the Chayis. So he's the Oifam. V'Masnisa Tonis. He's a lower level of Malach than the Chayis Hakodesh themselves. In a braisa we learn, Sandal Shmoi. Now the full name of him is written out in the Gemara, but the Arizal says we shouldn't say full names of Malachim unless their names are used as people's names like Gabriel and Michal and so forth. So therefore we'll just call him Sandal, but you can look in the Gemara and see the entire name. So that's his name. Hagavoya Mechaberoi, Mahalach Chamesh Meestrana. He is taller than the other Malachim by a distance of 500 years journey. The same kind of 500 years that we were talking about before that you have between one level, between one olam and the next. The oimid achode hamerkava, so he stands behind the merkava, in other words, he's on a lower level than them. The koshuk sorim lekoinai, and he ties and weaves together crowns for his creator, for Hashem. Tosfos brings that he uses the tefillos of the tzaddikim, he weaves into crowns for Hashem. So the Gemara says, "Any, is that so? How could he put a crown on Hashem? The Malachim, even the Chayis HaKodesh, which we're saying are even higher than this Malach Sandal, They say, blessed is the glory of Hashem mimkoimo, from its place. In other words, we don't know where Hashem's place is, but wherever it is, wherever Elokus is most gilui, then we don't know it. So even they don't know where that place is. So how is Sandal, who is a lower level malach, able to put a crown on Hashem's head? And the answer is, d'omah shem ataga. What happens is that this Malach Sandal says a name of Hashem. Once he's finished making the crown, he says a name of Hashem, but also the Yosef Bereshe, and that crown goes and sits on Hashem's head. Obviously, Rabbi Hanan explains over here, obviously we have to remember there's no head, there's no nothing. We're talking about, in other words, that it means that they accept Hashem's kingship over them. It means putting a crown on Hashem's head represents that the Malachim use the Jewish people's tefillahs to accept Hashem's kingship over them. In fact, this is what when we say in davening, Kesev Yitna Lecha, that's what it means. The Malachim Amone Maila, the Malachim up above, including this Malach Sandal, the Amcha Yisroel Kvote Mata, and the Jewish people gathered below, together, we make a crown that Kaviyach goes on Hashem's head, meaning that we accept Hashem's Malchus over us on an ongoing basis. Okay, to be continued tomorrow, Be'ez Hashem.